as we enter into Adar and as we approach Purim, so we are aware that not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos, we'll be reading Parshas Zachar, and we know that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, of fighting against, remembering Amalek at the same time, is intrinsically linked with the holiday of Purim. So what I'd like to do this evening is, I wouldn't call it Hashkafa, but I'd like to look at a famous statement from Rabbi Soloveitchik, which everyone here has heard in some form, but we'll see where the statement is coming from. And then we'll try to discuss or see, was Rabbi Soloveitchik's statement a halachic statement? Was he saying that this is actually the truth? Was it more of a drasha? And we'll see that perhaps there are a lot of other people besides Rabbi Soloveitchik who made the same statements as well. It was just not as famous. So the story is as follows. In 1956 at YU, on the eighth Yom HaAtzmaut, the eighth anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel, Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a famous drasha called Kol Dodi Dofek, that the Beloved is knocking. We're referencing how we have this opportunity with the State of Israel, we need to take advantage of it. And within that conversation that he gave, within that talk that he gave, it was written up in English, and then it was written up in Hebrew, in all different places. So he made a famous comment, which is a famous footnote in Kol Dodi Dofek. And there he cited a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, in the laws that deal with kings and battles of Eretz Yisrael, in Perakei Halacha Dalet. So the Rambam says, even though there's a mitzvah to defeat the seven nations who already lived in Eretz Yisrael, and that inhabited Eretz Yisrael when the Jewish people first entered, nowadays, says the Rambam, it's not possible to defeat them, to fight them. Why? Because they were all mixed up. Sancheirev, the king of Assyria, came and mixed up all of the different nations and all the different peoples across the world, and he made it not possible, says the Rambam, Kfar Avad Zichram, that their memory is erased. We don't know who these seven nations are anymore, and all the lineage and genealogy has been lost. And the Radvaz says that the source of the Rambam is a Mishnah in Yadayim, a Dalad Dalad, where it says that Sancheirev came and mixed up the entire world, and therefore these things cannot apply anymore. Therefore, we cannot identify who belongs to which nation. However, says the Rambam in the next halacha, when it comes to Amalek, the Rambam only says there's a mitzvah to defeat Amalek. The Rambam doesn't attach the halacha of, well, we don't know who Amalek is anymore, and therefore there's no mitzvah to fight Amalek. The Rambam doesn't apply that principle to Amalek. He only applies it to the other nations of the world. And the Rambam mentions nothing about this idea connecting it to Amalek. So Rabbi Soloveitchik explains that the Pasuk says, when we say, when we read Parshas Zachor, not in Parshas Zachor, but we read early on in Sefer Shmos, Milchemas Hashem ba'Amalek dor dor, that there's a fighting against Amalek for generation and for generation, and it goes on forever and ever. And that Amalek will never ever be lost to history. There's no concept of Amalek ever disappearing in the history of the world. And a practical difference for this would be that, for example, when it comes to fighting other battles, you need to ask the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, whether you can go fight a battle. But when it comes to fighting Amalek, you don't have to ask. Why? Because the battle has never stopped. It's still the same continuous battle that's been going on forever since the beginning of time. You don't have to ask permission to go fight Amalek. It's like asking permission from Congress to go fight a battle again since 2001. It's all the same long battle that's been going on. You don't need to ask permission again to go fight. So, what's the question? Where is Amalek, right? Where are we fighting Amalek? So Rabbi Soloveitchik famously quoted from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, who said that any nation who seeks the destruction of the Jewish people, any nation that comes to fight against the Jews, has the status of Amalek. Al pi halacha, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. He doesn't seem to say it's a drash. He says, according to halacha, according to practical halacha, it would seem to be that any nation that comes to destroy the Jewish people has a status of Amalek. And any nation that rises up in any of these fashions. And then he discusses whether the mitzvah to kill, whether this applies to an individual from Amalek, is it just a battle? And it would seem to be, at least he would say, that this idea would apply to a nation. We don't, with the Rabbi Soloveitchik, no one is advocating anyone should go out and attack someone on the street. certainly that would not be okay, but at least to say that as a nation, to do battle, if someone comes to attack us, there's a mitzvah to fight them, just like we would come to fight Amalek. Let's read it inside, in the famous footnote, and calls these are fake. So he says, at the end of the line, Aval Heichan, who, where is Amalek? Hatshuva shamati b'havam mipi abba mori zatzal. I heard from my father of blessed memory. Ki kol uma hamisnakalos lakalosis knesses Yisrael. Any nation that comes to fight the Jewish people, hofeches al pi halacha, according to law, becomes Amalek. Okay? And that is clearly black and white, the Rav quoting from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik. The same idea is repeated, if you don't believe Rabbi Soloveitchik's own handwriting, so it's repeated in Ha're Kedem, Rav Michal Shurkin's Sefer, in which he records his teaching from Rabbi Soloveitchik in Chelek Aleph, the same thing. And ironically, you should know that we know that there's a very popular Rambam that people use nowadays in the yeshivas. It's called the Frankel edition of the Rambam. It was edited and the mistakes were taken out, and there's an index in the back to sources that discuss all the different questions on the Rambam. You should know that the Frankel Rambam does not quote any really modern Orthodox or religious Zionist scholars at all. They quote Rabbi Soloveitchik once, and not by name. And it's on this halacha. The only place that's known where the Frankel Rambam quotes the Rav, and the Rav taught Torah on almost every single Rambam there is, the only place the Frankel Rambam quotes the Rav is quoting his father is on this Chiddush of Moshe Soloveitchik. If you look in the back of Frankel Rambam, on Malachim Hei Hei, you'll find a source to this discussion. That's the only place it's going to be brought. Okay. Now, Rav Shechter expands upon this in Nefesh HaRav, this collection of writings from Rabbi Soloveitchik, on page Pei Zayin. So he said that the Rabbi Soloveitchik felt Israel should not take the reparations from Germany for two reasons. So the first reason he says, Zuchreni hayach shedarish rabbeinu b'rabim neged hakabal sashlumei demei hapitzuya migermania, not to take the reparations from Germany, and he had two reasons. Ha'alef, shelo yikablu heim es ha'hargasha shekilu bezeh heim miskaprim b'yotzim dechavas hashmasam. That the Germans should never feel that, you know, they paid their dues. And that, okay, we paid Israel a lot of money, you know, we're not responsible anymore. He wanted they should always carry the burden of the terrible thing that they did. And the second thing, says Rav Shechter, in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, is the Medina din Amalek yesh lahem germanim. The halacha is that the Germans have the status of Amalek. V'asr lanu likach mehem shum davar. And it's usr to take anything from them. The Mechilta in Parshas Bishalach says that there is a cherem. There's a penalty. You're not allowed to take the possessions of Amalek. If you fight Amalek, all their possessions need to be destroyed. So the same thing over here. If Germany has the status of Amalek, then you cannot take their possessions because that would be taking something from Amalek. And therefore, Rabbi Soloveitchik practically held in a very real way to treat the German nation at that time, we're not saying nowadays, but at that time, as Amalek. It was not theoretical, it was something that he brought into practical regard. The Tzitz Eliezer, parenthetically, in Chelek Vav Chav Zayin, has a whole tshuva about reparations, and there's a lot of sources about German reparations, which we're not going to discuss this evening. Okay. This is cited also in the name of someone else in the Soloveitchik family, but not from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father. There are many sources that indicate it was also said by Rav Chaim Brisker, the Rav's famous grandfather as well. Who says this? There's a Talmud Chacham who lived in America, and Eretz Yisrael, his name is Rav Yehuda Gershoni. So he writes in a lot of his Sfarim, the most famous one, Kol Tzofayach, on page Kufay in Zion, and page Tuf Lamed Daled. So Rav Yehuda Gershoni says that, he says this whole Chiddush, that anyone who comes to attack the Jewish people is Amalek. He says the name of Rav Chaim, the grandfather, not Rav Moshe. And Rabbi Ganak of the OU says the same thing he heard from the Rav in the name of Rav Chaim, not his father, his grandfather, in his Gan Shoshanim as well, on page Pei Tes. And Rabbi Shechter as well says that he heard it from the Rav, quoting Rav Chaim, not just his father, but his grandfather, in his B'ikvei Atzon on page Reish Yud Gimel. So it's not only Rav Moshe Soloveitchik who seemingly said this, but also the great Rav Chaim Brisker as well. So we have a number of other places. Now, I just want to quote one very interesting idea that Rav Shechter adds to this, and I really do not understand it, but anyone who has an idea, I'm willing to accept, or we hear him out. So Rav Shechter adds on to this in B'ikvei Atzon. He says, V'yesha Omrim, at the end of the first line, there are those who said, Kain b'shem hagrach, in the name of Rav Chaim Brisker, b'tosefes nekud echas, that Rav Chaim added one other thing. D'haynu dafka al tnai, what does the pasuk say? That Amalek were v'lo yarei Elokim, that Amalek did not fear Hashem. im osa ha'uma ein lahem shum emuna ve'einam bali shum das. Rav Chaim's whole principle that you treat a nation like a malik is only if they have no religiosity and no concept of worshipping a god. A malik were not Yerei Elokim, and that nation, in order to qualify to be considered a malik, needs to have that qualification as well, that they have no religion or identification with any belief in a god. Now, Rav Chaim, that statement is just a little difficult, because that would mean something like, let's say, the Crusades. Or let's say if a person were to, I'm not saying one should, but if a person were to apply this to, you know, Muslims who are attacking the state of Israel, in that regard, they do believe in, you know, they are religious in a sense. They do have some sort of God. So it's unclear how would that apply to other places. I'm not exactly sure what to do with this condition of Rav Chaim, or how to apply it, or where it would fit in. Just a side point to the general discussion. Now, this point comes under discussion. There is a Torah journal that is published in Eretz Yisrael in America. A well-known gvir who lives on the west side published it. It's called Yeshurim. Yeshurim is a very popular Torah journal. They get all the best writers and Talmidei Chachamim to write for Yeshurim. So in the eighth volume of Yeshurim, they have a number of chedushim from Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the son of the Brisker Rav. Okay, so that means it's Rabbi Soloveitchik's cousin, who's also named Rav Yosef Dov. This is the Soloveitchik dynasty in Yerushalayim, of Brisk in Yerushalayim. So he passed away, and they had a whole journal that was dedicated to his teachings, and they brought something in his name in this journal. Let's look what he has to say. This is in Yeshurin, the 8th volume, on page Shin Ayin Ches. And they quoted from Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, saying the following idea. Baror upashit dehamitzasasri shalmachia samalik hu rak el ha'am shalamalik atzmo. It only applies to actual, real DNA amalik. Dehainu ela shehem yotzei chalatzim shalamalik beno shalifaz. Those who descend from amalik, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esav. Vine yeshet pisu b'shem marat hagrach, zatzal. There are those people, he says, who are publishing the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Sh'amar dehamitzasasri shalmachia samalik einu rak al zera amalik levad. That it doesn't only apply to Amalek DNA, Ela Gam al Kol Osan Hashem Shabachol Doris Nechamim Keneged Hashem V'Imo Holchem B'Darach Hashanah. Whoever follows in the path of Amalek, Shagam Heim B'Chal Hamitzasasei Lavid Ezecher Amalek. There's a mitzvah to wipe them out, to attack them. Vosif B'Shmo, and they added on to Mishum Hachi Lo Kasev Rambam Gabi Mitzasasei Shemachias Amalek B'Kvar Avid Zechram. And that's why the Rambam never said that Amalek was disappeared into nations of the world, because it doesn't matter if you have the DNA of Amalek. If you come to attack the Jewish people, it should apply as well. So says Rav Beryl Soloveitchik in the middle of the four lines to the end of this paragraph. So he writes, "Udvarim elu asur la'omram va'asur l'shoman." It's asur to say such a thing. It's asur to hear such a thing. It only applies to one who actually has Amalek DNA. Who descends from Eliphaz, the son of Esav. So, one half of the Brisker dynasty attacking in no short terms the other half of the Brisker dynasty. It happens sometimes. And the editor here of the journal, it says Amar HaOrech, the editor of the journal adds something of his own opinion. He says, actually, if you look in the Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim, in the third gate, in the 50th chapter, in Gimel Nun, so the Rambam discusses the following idea. Why does the Torah spend so much time telling us about Esav's lineage? And Esav had this many kids, and this was the prince over here, and this was the prince over here. So the Rambam says the whole purpose is what? So we can trace where Amalek comes from. And what's clear from the Mor Nebuchim? We need to know who Amalek is, because we need to know the genealogy of Amalek. And therefore, we seem to have a proof from the Mor Nebuchim against this statement in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Okay, Akasha, certainly not a devastating Kasha, but a question nonetheless. Okay, the Rambam also will write the same thing in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Zion, in his Minyan HaMitzos. We'll return to the Sefer HaMitzos and how to reconcile that with the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah later on. Okay, now, the year after this article was published in the Shurin, so someone wrote a letter, but the letter was not accepted to Yeshurin, apparently, because it attacked. Also, I don't think Yeshurin accepts letters to the editor. It's really monolithic. They don't really care for your opinion. But someone wrote a letter to another popular journal that's published in Muncie. The journal is called Or Yisrael. So in Or Yisrael, Chaf Zayin, in the 27th edition of the Kovetz Or Yisrael, on page Reish Chaf Tes, there someone writes a letter to the editor. And he notes that Rabbi Soloveitchik, or the Soloveitchik family of New York, is not the only people who said that a Malek, anyone who attacks the Jewish people, is a Malek. And he quotes from a sefer by Rav Mordechai David Ackerman, who was a student of Rav Gusman of Netzach Yisrael in Yerushalayim. He was a very close student of Rav Gusman, and in a lot of his svarim, he writes about his recollections with Rav Gusman. So he has svarim that are called Lifnei Iver, and he has other types of svarim as well. And Rav Gusman told Rav Mordechai David Ackerman that it was very clear to him that the Nazis had the status of a Malek. Rav Gusman, who lived through the Holocaust, it was very clear to him that the Nazis had such a status, al pi halacha. Okay? And he said, not only that, said Rav Gusman, that this was the opinion of those who sat on the Beis Din with him of Rav Chaim Ozer. Meaning, as the Nazi darkness was covering Europe, and before things got very, very bad, and Rav Chaim Ozer eventually was still alive, and those Gedolim who passed away before the Holocaust were still alive, they also felt, it was clear to them, that Nazi Germany had the status of a Malek. So Rav Gusman is putting not just Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in that camp, but a whole group of other Rabbanim to come and support this piece as well. So we have someone to back up again that al pi halacha, such a nation could have the status of a Malek. And the author of this letter to Or Yisrael concludes that it must be that someone who's writing up the notes of Rabbi Soloveitchik, one of the students, got too enthusiastic and made a mistake. Because it can't be that Rabbi Soloveitchik would have said something so harsh if so many great Talmidei Chachamim said the same point as well. And he leaves it at that. There was no response to this letter. Okay. This is also, who else holds clearly that a nation practically can have the status of a Malek? Rabbi Yisachar Tachtal, the famous author of the Eima Badam Smecha, writes in his collected writings, the Amunat Tzerufa Bekur HaShoah. We don't have it on the sheet, but he writes it in his book of recollections that he wrote during the Holocaust. He says this is also, and this is also accepted by Rav Sternbach of the Eidech HaRedis in Yerushalayim in his Shuvas V'Hanagos Chela Gimel, Simen Reish Chaf Gimel. So we have Rav Sternbach quoting Rav Chaim, who accepts it, and we have Rav Gusman, and we have Rav Shlomo Tachtal, many, many Gedolim, who have no question saying that, agreeing to this principle, that if a nation comes to attack the Jewish people, they are treated La halacha as a nation like a Malek. Again, no one is saying to go and harm another person. No one is advocating that. But they're saying when it comes to defending ourselves and fighting, it raises itself to the level of the mitzvah of fighting a Malek. Okay. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Vav, says that the Pasuk in Tehillim says that Hashem should not grant those who desire to do wicked to us, less than that they should be successful. Hashem shouldn't have people who try to hurt us, have them be successful. So the word means, the Gemara there uses a word that connotes that we, Hashem, should control these people who are trying to attack us. And the Gemara says that this is the restraint that Hashem uses against Germania shel Edom, the nation of Germania that descends from Edom. And Rav Yaakov Emden, in his comments there on the Gemara, and the Vilna Gaon, in the similar Gemara in Maseches Yuma and Daf Yudim and Aleph, both say that the girs of the Germania should be changed to what? Germania. That the second mem should be changed to a nun. And the Gra writes, every single time the Gra comes across this word, in any of the writings of Chazal, the Gra always makes an emendation to change the word Germania to Germania. And it's clear from him and Rav Yaakov Emden that we are referring to the German lands. It's very clear in their writings that they feel that this area is descendant from Amalek. And we have a tradition that from the Gra himself that Germany is from Amalek. And for this reason, there's a famous story that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, when the Kaiser of Germany came to visit Eretz Yisrael, in 1899, so Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim, refused to go out and make a bracha of seeing a melech, because he had a tradition that he heard from the Maharil Diskin, who heard from his Rebbe, who heard from the Gra, that the Germans had the status of a melech, and he refused to make such a bracha on him at that time. The story is repeated in many, many books that discuss the life of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Based on this Mesorah, so we don't need the Chiddush of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, right? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, any nation that comes to attack us, we treat like a Malek. But based on this Masorah from the Vilna Gaon, I don't need a Chiddush or Rosh Hashanah Beijing. I can simply say that, you know, Germany is a Malik. Okay, and we can leave it simply as that, with nothing to discuss. There is a Sefer called the Eish HaMizbeach, which is written by Rav Gad Noach Weintraub, who was a student of Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. And the Eish HaMizbeach, one second, in the Eish HaMizbeach, we have to flip around, turn the page. So in the Eish HaMizbeach, on page Tzadi Zion, he records something that Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld told him himself. What did he write? Shamat mi pek hitshul shal Rabbeinu Magon HaTzadik Marad Ar Yisrael, Lorein Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Lebrach. I heard the following thing from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. Sha'alti Yoso, I asked him, Nitzavinu al Mechias HaMalik Dafka, we were commanded to fight against HaMalik, V'halo Anachnu Yodim SheGermania, Mibnei Yachas V'kulam Omrim Alav Shu HaMalik, can we simply say that the Germans have the status of being a Malik? V'amar li shagam hu yimcha. He says, yes, there is a mitzvah to defend ourselves against them. Ki lo ksiv mecho emcha es amalek. It doesn't say mecho emcha, rak es zecher amalek. What does the pasuk say? You should attack the zecher of a Malik. Those people who attach themselves to the memory of a Malik. Dehainu al eza uma shemesimin es zichro shel amalek yimcha. Any nation that takes on this memory, takes on the job, the mantle of a Malik, such as Chaim Sonnenfeld, there's a mitzvah to treat them as a Malik. So we're adding more great gedolim to the camp of Rav Chaim and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik as well. Okay, now, just as a side point, the continuation of that story, the author adds, Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld told him that chas v'shalom, we should ever say, yamach shemo v'zichro, when it comes to talking about another Jew. Chas v'shalom, anyone should use such a lashon, such a language, to talk about another Jew in any form or fashion, and it should only be used specifically against the nations that come to attack us. It has to be very careful, he said, when we use such such phraseology when it comes to speaking about certain people. Okay. A side point as well, Rav Vosner in the Shevet HaLevi Chelek Hay has a tshuva about accepting German converts, because if Germany is a Malik, and you can't accept a convert from a Malik, then what do we do about German converts? Rav Vosner is lenient. As we know, nowadays, there's a very big conversion movement from Germany to Israel, because people are discovering their past, and why did my grandparents do such things, and they come in touch with Judaism. So all these things come together. Okay, who else can we add to this list of people who practically hold this idea? Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog, the famous chief rabbi of Israel. So he writes in his Psakim Uksavim, in Chelek Beis, page Tav Kuf Yud Tes. Independently, he doesn't even mention Rav Chaim, doesn't mention anything about the Brisker family, and Rav Herzog writes the same thing. He says that if any nation rises up to destroy the Jewish people like the Nazis, there's a mitzvah to fight against them. Even though, he says, that the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvot seemingly says what? In Mitzvah 187, that it's only against Zera Amalek, the descendants of Amalek. So Herzog raises this contradiction that we raised at the beginning. If the Rambam in Mitzvah Esei Kuf Pei Zion said that it's only against the descendants of Amalek, naturally, but in another place he seems to leave that out, and he says that Amalek could technically be anyone who comes to attack the Jewish people. How do we reconcile this contradiction? Is it lineage of Amalek, or is it anyone who attacks the Jewish people? So Rav Herzog invokes a principle that we try not to use too often, but apparently he had no issue here. We know that the Rambam wrote his commentary, his Sefer Mitzvos, when he was younger. Okay, he wrote a Sefer Mitzvos when he was younger, and therefore, and when he was older, he did more editing on the Mishnah Torah. So Rav Herzog says, apparently, perhaps, the Rambam recanted his earlier opinion and changed it later on to say that it doesn't have to be actual DNA of Amalek, it could apply to anyone. Now, we try not to apply the principle that to say that the Rambam changed his mind or things like that, but Rav Herzog apparently had no issue over here using it to explain why we can treat other nations like Amalek. There is a fascinating discussion of Rav Chaim in the Tshuvos of Rav Yitzhak Nisim, who was the Rishon Lezion before Rav Avad Yosef. Okay, he was the one before him. And in his Yayin HaTov, Chelek Beis, he has Tshuvos Beis Gimel Dalet Hei. The first Tshuva is from him in Simon Beis. And he says that it's clear from the Rambam and the commentaries, the Nosei Kalim, that we can't simply label any nation a Malig based on how they act. And he does not go along with that. He doesn't think you can simply label a nation. In Siman Gimel, in the next tshuva, there's a tshuva from Shlomo Karelitz, who is a nephew of the Chazon Ish. And he lived in Petach Tikva, and he cites this idea of Rav Chaim all by himself. He says that he heard in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that you can treat any nation who comes to attack us like Amalek. And he says that he's very bothered by this, because many Rishonim indicate that Amalek depends on lineage, the DNA, not simply, you know, attacking Jews. And in Siman Dalet, so there is a response. Siman Dalet and Hey are responses defending Rav Chaim. And the people who respond are Rav Ezra Batsri and Rav Chaim Ozer Katz. So each one has different proofs. Both argue that in fact Rav Chaim is not teaching us anything new at all. It's clear, according to people before Rav Chaim, that a nation can be treated as halacha, that as like a malik if they come to attack us. And first he quotes from the Sefer, the Yad Yosef in Parshas Tetzaveh, who says that a malik is different from the rest of the world. And because of their natural hatred for the Jewish people, which is so intense and without reason, we treat them differently. They just have a different halachic status. And I recently saw in a fantastic sefer from Rav Avram Gervitz. Rav Avram Gervitz, I think, was the Rosh Yeshiva in Gateshead. So he has a bunch of sardim called Or Avram. And he writes something fascinating. He says, also picking up on Rav Chaim's Chiddush, and he also feels that's halacha, and he has a beautiful point. He says that we know that when a non-Jew converts to Judaism, what happens? They become a new person. And they are mekabel ol mitzvos, they take on the yoke of mitzvos, and they become a totally new person with the Torah. And he says the same applies to a guy who accepts the Torah of a Amalek. He says, generally, and do we find that a guy converts from, you know, French to Italian? We don't find that you convert from one nationality to another. You only convert to Judaism or not Judaism. But says Rav Avram Gervitz, I have a chiddush, he says. There's another nation, there's another religion you can convert to besides Judaism. What is it? It's called a Amalek. When a Amalek has a whole Torah, a whole gestalt, a whole way to view the world, a whole approach to life, and if a person goes and is mekabel ol Amalek, he says, I want to be an Amaleki, and I want to live in their path, and I want to act like them, so you become a Amalek. Just like a person converts to Judaism and becomes a Jew, you can convert to being a Amaleki and become like a Amalek. And he explains why. Because what the Yad Yosef said, they have a whole derech, a whole Torah, a whole way of viewing their life. And he says that can literally change the person into becoming a Amalek. So if a person asks you, can you convert to anything else? The answer is yes. You can convert to becoming an Amalekite. That is something that is possible if a person wants to. They bring another approach.
ISIS.
So the Ma'am Loes in Parshas Kisetse in Chaf Hei Yud Zayin says that in every generation Amalek comes dressed as a different nation. So the Ma'am Loes had no problem saying this as well. And this says this is the understanding of B'chol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chal Seinu, like we say at the Seder. What does that mean, every generation? In every generation, Amalek comes back in a different form. He says that's shot in the line in the Haggadah. Rav Chaim Ozer Katz, who you mentioned before, so he cites his grandfather, Rav Reuven Katz. Rav Reuven Katz was the Rav of Petach Tikva. I think he has a son who taught something in YU. So he has a sefer called Shah Reuven. On page Shin Aleph, so Rav Reuven Katz writes black on white. This is before he would have heard anything from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Independently, he writes that the Nazis are a Amalek, and there's a mitzvah of Machot Tzimcha. Let's look at the Shah Reuven. He writes, HaNatzim HaGermanim SheYichalu Ubitzru Etz Tzafa HaMalek Yosem Mishah Zos HaMalekia Mekori. They are a Amalek. HaRetzach HaMiskonein Shal Shisha Milyon Ma'achim Ma'achiyos. They tried to destroy 6 million Jews, and they did destroy 6 million Jews, who see HaRishah HaSitzniot. They are the pit, is the pinnacle of evil and being Satan. And for this mitzvah, there's a mitzvah for every Jew to fulfill, as din u mitzvahs hanakama shel machot timcha. Says Reuven Katz, writing al pi halacha, the mitzvah of machot timcha will apply to such a nation as well, following in the same line and reasoning as the Soloveitchik family. Okay, so we have a number of proofs already. Now, Rav Chaim Ozer Katz finishes the tshuva, and he says, all of this is very nice, but there's a few conditions that are stopping us. He says, well, first of all, according to some Rishonim, everyone needs to be living in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if we have a majority of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, is what to discuss. And on top of that, perhaps you need a melech as well. Rashi and Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and the Sifri in the beginning of Sefer Devarim say you need a melech, you need a king. We don't have a melech. So therefore, he says that's the only thing that's stopping any practical carrying out of this mitzvah, and that's what stops it. But in other areas of halacha, there is what to say for it. Okay, next source.
Rosh Memshala doesn't count.
The Rosh Memshala, I do not think, counts. Okay.
The original Amalek, we didn't have a melech?
Moshe Rabbeinu had a status of a melech. In some regards, Moshe Rabbeinu had a melech. The Rishonim discussed that. That question is what the Rishonim discussed. So one of the answers is that Moshe Rabbeinu was like a melech. Okay, one more source, then we're going to discuss the people who disagree. The Gemara in Brachos from Zion and Beis has a discussion about Eliezer and a slave. They needed a minion to make. They needed a minion, and he had his slave with him. They only had 9. Sometimes it happens in some shuls. So so he took his slave and he freed him. So we have a Jew. So the Gemara asks the question, oh no, how can you free a slave? The Pasuk says, Vavdola Olam, a slave has to serve, it's an Isser essay. It's a violation of a positive commandment to free a slave, because the slave is supposed to, the Eved Kenani is supposed to serve you until he's done. You're not supposed to free the slave if there's really no purpose. So he said, well, I had a mitzvah I needed to take care of. So the Gemara says, oh, the mitzvah is not enough. That's a mitzvah of Baba Avera. You did an Aveira to bring about a mitzvah, for whatever the mitzvah is we have to discuss. And then the Gemara says, no, but a mitzvah to Rabbim Shaini, it was for a very public mitzvah for a lot of people, so therefore he was allowed to free the slaves. So the Rush, in Perek Zayin, Brachos, asked the following question, what was the mitzvah? What mitzvah is going on here? So the Rush says, it was a mitzvah of reading Parsha Zachar, which is a din d'oraisa, a Torah commandment. This is one of the sources that we know that Parsha Zachar is from the Torah. So the Rush says Parsha Zachar is din d'oraisa. In order to be able to learn from the Torah, he needed to free the slave, and therefore that mitzvah d'oraisa, reading Parsha Zachar, wipes everything out. So there's a sefer called the Marchei Lev, and the Marchei Lev in Chelek Aleph, page Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, asks the following question. Now the question is not so strong, but let's just ask it anyway. He says, "What do you mean there's a mitzvah d'oraisa? If a malek is not here anymore, if there's no malek because everyone got mixed up, then you know how can you say that reading Parshas Zachar is a mitzvah d'oraisa? What are you reminding us to do? There's no practical way to do anything about a malek. So how can you say that Parshas Zachar is a mitzvah d'oraisa if a malek is all mixed up and gone?" Now the question is a little bit faulty because who says these two things are connected to each other? Who says reading Parshas Zachar is connected to fighting against the Malik? But let's leave the question as it is, because there's a sefer called the Pnei Yitzchak. So Rav Yitzchak Abu Lafia was the Rav of Damascus. He died in 1910. This is around the same time of Rav Chaim. So he writes in his Pnei Yitzchak Chelek Vav on page Mem Aleph Amud Aleph that any nation that tries to harm the Jewish people has the status of a Malik. And therefore he says, to answer the question of the Marchei Lev, the reading of Parsha Zachar is from the Torah, because there is a Malik nowadays, and therefore you can answer the question. So Rav Yitzchak Abu Lafia says black on white that the reading of Amalek, the fighting of Amalek, does apply nowadays. Let's just finish up with those who disagree. For some reason, something changed in the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years, and everyone I'm about to quote right now are Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, who lived in present-day Eretz Yisrael. And something changed, and they began to feel that the whole thing that Rabbi Soloveitchik said, the whole thing of Rav Chaim, is not actually halacha l'maisa. So Rav Nachum Rabinovich, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Birchas Moshe, so he writes in his sefer Malom Dei Melchama as follows. He discusses this issue, and he says that it's clear from the Mor Nevuchim, and it's clear from the Sefer HaMitzvos, that the Rambam had no intention to say that Mechias Amalek applies to anyone who's not actually a descendant of Amalek himself. And he explains that the Mishnah Torah, there actually is a comparison. Because at the beginning of the Halacha, where the Rambam says, oh, Amalek, you know, there's a mitzvah to fight them, the Halacha begins, Ulechein, and therefore. So the Vav, says Nachum Rabinovich, connects the two halachos. Whatever we said by the halacha, that the whole nation was mixed up and gone away, also applies to a malik as well. And that's how Rav Nachman Rabinovich applies this to this halacha. The word b'chein links the two things, and the reason why the mitzvahs are separated is because a malik has a special aspect of zechira, which doesn't apply to the other things, and that's why they have their own special halacha. But surely, he says, a malik is gone, and there's no mitzvah to fight against them. And he says that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was only speaking in a manner of drush. It was homiletics. It was not a halachic statement. And we find other places. The Gemara in Yumechav Gimel has a whole discussion about there was a Kohen who was killed in the Beis HaMikdash, and this guy got up and made a whole drush about a para aduma. We should bring a para aduma. And everyone asked, what do you mean a para aduma? There's no para aduma if someone's killed in Yerushalayim, or if you know where the body is, or you know who the body belongs to. So the Gemara answers, no, it was dash derech drush. You can say things that are not lahalacha in order to inspire people and to bring a point home. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was not trying to pass on lacha. He was just trying to make a drasha to inspire people to come closer to Hashem and to perform mitzvahs. He continues that he heard from Yitzhak Shilat, a famous rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, who heard in the name of Tzvi Yehuda Cook, Rav Cook's son, that this is also a drasha from Moshe Soloveitchik, and it was not lahalacha as well. And then I also saw from Rav Eliezer Melamed, who's a Rosh Yeshiva, I think, in Har Bracha, in Eretz Yisrael as well, that he says that it is also a drasha, it's not lahalacha, it's just homiletics and nothing to be taken seriously. And Rav Nevensol, in his comments on the Sefer, Mishtar Medina, B'Yisrael, Pia Torah, in the fourth volume of page 1619, which is a whole book about how to run the Jewish state according to halacha, so Rav Nevensol says that the entire thing is derech drush. Rabbi Soloveitchik was not making a halachic statement, and it only applies to direct descendants of a malik. So we seem to have two schools of thought. I think the overwhelming majority of the people do say that it is something lahalacha. I don't know what happened in Eretz Yisrael in the last 40 years, where people started to decide that it was derech drush. I don't know, it's sarachin, but we seemingly do have a lot of people who say that Rabbi Soloveitchik is speaking lahalacha. I just want to end with two interesting ideas. The pasuk at the end of Bishalach says, "Vayomer ki yad al keis kam lecham al Hashem ba'amalek midor dor." That will fight Amalek midor dor. So I saw Rav Meir Mazuz writes in his sefer Sansin LeYair on page Pei Bez that the gematria of midor memdal resh is the same gematria of Hitler. And then he goes on to say that the gematria of ki yad al keis ka is the same gematria as Saddam Hussein. Who's not really a factor anymore, but he does note that the Gulf War ended on Purim, and he has a whole connection between these things, and he suggests that the reason why the pasuk is repetitive, why does it say midor dor, kiyalo keiska, machot imcha, what's with all this repetition? So he says the reason is because there's two Amaleks. There's the Amalek that is the natural descendants of Amalek, Ben Eliphaz Ben Esav, and there's the other Amalek who is the enemy who comes to destroy the Jewish people in every generation, and each one needs to be treated as it should be treated as an enemy of the Jewish people. Okay, so hopefully, obviously we're not advocating anything dangerous, but it certainly is a lesson as we approach Purim that perhaps there is something more to the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMalek than meets the eye.